Hi, Eagles fans. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you on this Monday, the day after a most impressive 31-20 victory for the Philadelphia Eagles. Road game number 3 in a row. Now it's time to come back home. Beat Dallas week here. Oh, what fun we're going to have and what a great show we have for you today on Eagles Live. We take a look back at yesterday's game. Nick Foles putting on a show as part of an offensive explosion. Once again, 425 total net yards for the Eagles offense. 3 touchdown passes for Foles, a running touchdown, and the Eagles coming up big against the Buccaneers. And a very strong defense, that one that had played well against the Saints, against the Cardinals. This is a good defense that the Eagles, well, basically shredded both the run and the pass. Great balance. LeSean McCoy late in the game. The Eagles running that clock in the fourth quarter all the way down to set up Alex Henry for his field goal that gave the Eagles that 11-point margin of victory. But just a terrific performance. Great play calling. This play to open the game for the Eagles. They win the toss. They get the football 44 yards. And then it's a little bit of running, a little bit of passing, and the Eagles scoring a touchdown on their first drive for the first time this season. So it's 2 consecutive wins. The Eagles rolling, and they did it yesterday in front of just a tremendous amount of fan support in Tampa that we'll highlight in just a little bit here. But thanks once again, as always, to Eagles fans on the road. Absolutely magnificent job. Let's get you caught up on what's happening today with our own Bo Wolf.
Dave, let's get to your Eagles Live headlines and the story today. Nick Foles, 2 for 2 in Tampa Bay. He was very impressive in the Eagles' 31-20 win yesterday over the Buccaneers. 22 of 31 for 296 yards, a quarterback rating of 133.3. 3 touchdowns passing, 1 touchdown running, and most impressively, he spread the ball around 8 different receivers catching passes. Of course, he tossed 2 touchdowns to DeSean Jackson. Riley Cooper went over 100 yards receiving for the first time in his NFL career. And that means that this week the story is going to be, once again, who starts next week for the Eagles. Nick Foles obviously has proven he can move this offense, but we wait and see if Michael Vick can return to 100% health. We'll follow his practice status throughout the week. It is the most important hamstring in all of the NFL right now, and we will follow that throughout the week. Also very important, LeSean McCoy remains the NFL's leading rusher. He has been so impressive this season. 25 carries for 116 yards yesterday. He has almost a 100-yard rushing lead over Arian Foster for the league title. Coming up later on the show, Chip Kelly live right here, and it all leads up, of course, to Sunday's game for the NFC East first place title through 7 games, that is, the 3-3 Cowboys against the 3-3 Eagles.
All righty. Thank you very much, Bo. Now, the game on the field influenced by the performance in the stands from Eagles fans on Sunday. Thousands of them coming from all parts of Florida, from all over the country. Certainly just planefuls coming from Philadelphia to make it down to Tampa. Gorgeous sunny day, and we all noticed it. The head coach noticed it, and the quarterback did as well. Let's take a look and a listen to Chip Kelly and Nick Foles after the game. Thank you, Eagles fans, for the great support.
Well, the biggest adjustment we had to make was how loud our fans were. They were freaking awesome. That was unbelievable. I mean, you go into a foreign, an away stadium and listen to the crowd, you know, chanting us on like that. It was awesome, and I'd like to just give them credit. I think it's great to see. We go on the road to see all the Eagle fans run around. So we've been successful the last 2 weeks in a row. Now we get to go home and play in front of everybody back at home at the link. So.
I felt like it was a home game with all the – I mean, there was a couple times that the crowd was yelling, and I thought, what happened? And I looked, and it was all the green and white jerseys. So it was our fans. So, we had a tremendous amount of support here. We did last year as well. So it's pretty fun when you're in an opposing stadium and you have that many fans that come and support you. So, I mean, they helped us tremendously.
It was certainly an impressive show by the fans. And look, it's been every week for years and years, and we say thank you once again. By the end of that game, really the beginning, look at that. I mean, that is a sea of midnight green. And it was all over the stadium from start to finish. And by the end of the game, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans left the Raymond James Stadium, Eagles fans dominating, and they had such a great time. Great weather conditions, mid-80s, low humidity. Look at that, everybody having a great time. So still some road games to hit on the way out this season. Some trips to Lambeau Field, Minnesota, Oakland. And, of course, the Eagles end the season in Dallas against the Cowboys. That game Well, could have a lot of meaning. Certainly, this week's game has a ton of meaning. Both teams 3-3. First place in the NFC East is at stake. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Here we take a look at the standings. Eagles and the Cowboys distancing themselves quite a bit here from the Redskins, and certainly the Giants, the opponent in 2 weeks, struggling at 0-6. A look around the rest of the NFC. I mean, if you're thinking this early about wild card implication, or wild card, it's not that crazy. You know? Maybe it was a little while ago, but not that crazy. Just keep winning, baby. That's all that matters. All right. Took my Spud Cam on the road to Draymond James Stadium and had a good time yesterday. Thanks again to all the fans. Great to see you all. Let's take a look at Spud Cam from this week.
I'm just proud of my guys for fighting hard.
You know what? It's your hometown. How much does that mean to you?
It means a ton. I had so many people here at the game. My mom and dad were here, so I'll give her the touchdown ball after the game. But it was great.
When the Eagles win, you win. Download the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app and receive a free medium hot coffee or 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win. So all of you who have that Dunkin' Donuts app in the local Philadelphia area in participating Dunkin' Donuts, that's the disclaimer. Hope you're enjoying your coffee today because, again, when the Eagles win, you win. Thanks to our great partners at Dunkin' Donuts. When we return, we talk about an Eagles offense that is reaching historic proportions, great balance, great productivity, and some excellent play at the quarterback position. We're coming back. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Stay with us.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm going to miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies,
shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. The Eagles offense really through six games here, better than we have seen in a long, long time. And in fact, better than most offenses have been historically. The Eagles are reaching record numbers in terms of yards gained, and the production has been outstanding. Philadelphia simply is producing offensively. You see the numbers, 449 yards of offense, third in the NFL. The rushing game, number one in the NFL. Passing game, very strong. Look at a third down efficiency, excellent, 48.9%, 45.9% efficiency. The red zone yesterday, now the Eagles go into Tampa, and they play a Tampa team ranked second in the NFL in red zone defensive efficiency. The Eagles go in and go 2-for-2 right away. And there's LeSean McCoy. Not in the red zone, but part of an offense that is really making it happen with a lot of terrific diversity. Eagles, as we see here, time of possession doesn't seem to be very important, but the points per game, eighth a week ago, now fifth in the NFL at 27.7 points per game. And that is all offense, okay? The Eagles still need to get the defense going with some picks, with some takeaways, some scores, special teams the same. So for the Eagles offense, terrific. And yesterday, you see how the Eagles move the ball very well in all phases. The one turnover cost them 3 points, the LeSean McCoy fumble, but just an outstanding effort from the Philadelphia Eagles and from Nick Foles. And yeah, we'll get into the quarterback talk in just a bit here. Let's talk more about the team and the scheme. It all works extremely well. As for Nick Foles, well, he has been terrific in the 6 quarters of playing time that he's had this year. Coming off the bench against the Giants, leading the Eagles to a win in a big NFC East game a couple of weeks ago. And then on Sunday, doing it all for the Eagles, running a little bit, throwing the football a little bit. Nick Foles, we see the numbers. For the season, Foles completing 67% of his passes. That is terrific. 67.2% of his passes. The quarterback rating of 127.9. And the rushing touchdown. So naturally, the question is, with Chip Kelly, who's the starting quarterback? Do you think he'll be asked that question when we get to it here in just a little bit? Well, he was asked about it yesterday and asked about the offense in general.
I thought Nick did a really good job. You know, what we do offensively, you know, we talked about it all along. We don't change. He ran our offense. He did a really good job of spreading the ball around at different receivers. You know, really, really happy with how we played today.
When did you let Nick know he was going to be the starter?
He knew, you know, I think just from the amount of reps he was getting, you know, we were just going to see towards the end of the week, you know. But he probably knew yesterday that he was going to be a starting quarterback.
You ran a lot of screens in the first half. Were they playing mostly zone defensively?
They played both. You know, they mix and match pretty good. They do a pretty good, I mean, that was a really good defensive football team we played against. And there's not just one thing they do. They generate a four-man rush and play zone behind it. And then other times they were bringing a lot of pressure, and sometimes we beat them with the pressure, and other times we didn't handle the pressure very well. But, you know, overall, I was really pleased with how our guys played.
You know, I thought it was really important to get out to a fast start, you know, and I think the first play, you know, we hit LeSean, he breaks one, and then all of a sudden our guys start to get into rhythm and start to get a roll going. And you know, I thought it was really big for us, especially playing a team like this team. We wanted to get on them early. And then really, you know, make them start to play from behind. I thought that was that big drive was huge for us at the beginning of the game.
And the call on the quarterback draw on that, can you talk about why you thought that would work?
Just what we saw on film, you know, and again, like we talk about, our offense doesn't change whether Mike's in there, Nick's in there. You know, Nick executed perfectly, and we knew they were going to be in a coverage that allowed us to let the quarterback run, and Nick executed it, and our offensive line did a great job.
What about, you said Nick could do enough to win the job over a healthy Michael Vick if he was 100-for-100. Did he do that? Did he win the job if Mike's healthy?
Was he 100 for? Was he 100 for 100?
He was close.
He was close. I wish he was 100 for 100. That'd be a record.
No picks.
Now we'll evaluate everything. You know, go back, watch film, see what we did good, see what we did bad, and see where we are, see where Mike is. So.
Did
That's all.
Mike to be ready.
I don't give any hypotheticals and I don't make any predictions. So.
You see on the two deep balls in the second half, the one to Deshaun, the other to Riley. What did you see there?
Well, Riley's wasn't a deep ball. It was actually a hitch that he just converted and, you know, made the DB miss. And
the 47.
All right, that one. That was just, you know, we felt like in certain situations we could play past them. And I think maybe both of them were on first down. So we were running the ball real successfully. We played past them and gave us an opportunity. Riley did a good job on the first one running by the young rookie corner. And then the other one was kind of a flood route. And, you know, Deshaun took it over the top of the tight end. But, you know, Deshaun's got that gear that when Nick throws it, I think some people were like, where's he going? And then all of a sudden Deshaun comes out of nowhere. But just two real good design plays that we've had in our offense, and those guys executed it.
Did you open it up a little bit after halftime?
Did I open it up? No, I mean, I think we played our normal, that same offense we've run in the first six games of the year so far. So I think we've been productive in our first six games. I think the difference in today's game, again, we did a really good job in a turnover battle. It was a tough one to start the game with. But again, we didn't throw any interceptions besides that one. And I think our defense did a great job, came on the field and held them to a field goal, which was huge for us. And then we converted in the red zone. We did a better job, and we spent a lot of time this week in practice making sure we could execute down there, and we did.
All right, that's a very happy Chip Kelly. Now we take a look at what Nick Foles did against Tampa Bay's strong defense, 22 of 31, 296 yards, 3 touchdowns. The passer rating, outstanding. Ran when he had the opportunities to run, including that 4-yard quarterback design draw. Nick Foles after the game, as usual, taking it in stride, mature, poised. And he's just as poised off the field as he is on the field.
Hey, I mean, hats off to Tampa. I thought that they had a really good team and a really good defense, and we had to fight hard. I was really proud of our guys for fighting, and, you know, there were some good things out there. But, you know, it's a great win. It feels good to get a win. It is different with schematically, but I feel really comfortable here. I feel comfortable with our personnel, our plays, everything. I mean, it helps when you have a great relationship with the players, the coaches, and when you go into a game and you're all on the same page, you know that you're going to fight for each other. So I was really proud of the guys for, I mean, everybody stuck together, and it was a great, another team win. So I was really proud of everyone. You know, our guys are doing a great job too of running their routes, guys up front doing a great job blocking. I mean, it takes everybody to be on the same page for that not to happen. And, there's always a chance it will. And I think the big thing is if you do throw a pick, you always come back firing. But I think it's just really, you know, understanding what's going on in the defense, going through the reads, not trying to force a ball, and just being smart with it, because turnovers, as y'all have seen, can be a big determining factor in the game. So just trying to be smart with the ball. They were playing soft coverage. I got the ball to Riley, and he made a tremendous play and really showed his speed and his athletic ability. So it was fun to see him run down like that. And then we had a little play action pass called on, and Deshaun went right over the top of him and made a great play. So, you know, it's fun when you have two plays like that in a row and you get some points on the board. You know, Mike was tremendous tonight. Mike and Matt, they were right there to support me no matter what. And it really helps when you have quarterbacks in a quarterback room, you know, with our coach Bill Lazor, that, you know, support you no matter what. And I'm going to support Mike no matter what, and I'm going to support Matt no matter what. So it's pretty special. It's tremendously important to be, you know, sharp in the red zone. You really want to, you know, get those points. You don't want to come away with field goals. So I think the big thing is preparation. You see what they're going to do, and you really got to take advantage of it. You got to be on time. You got to be sharp with your throws, precision, accuracy. And you can't hold on the ball too long, because that's when bad things happen down there, because everything's faster. So that all goes with preparation and everybody being on the same page and the line doing a great job blocking, and they did. So we were able to do great things in the red zone.
And that provides a nice segue into our quarterback conversation. Now, it's really a very good situation, actually, for Chip Kelly and this Eagles offense. Both Michael Vick and Nick Foles have run the offense extremely well through the first six games of the season. Who gets the nod against the Cowboys? We'll hear the update from Kelly in just a bit here as he addresses the media, his weekly day-after press conference. Vick was available for this game. He was on the active roster. He went through the pregame warm-ups, and had the Eagles needed an emergency quarterback after Foles and Matt Barkley, Vick would have been that guy. He could have been limited, certainly, but would have been that quarterback. After the game, Vick spoke to reporters about his health, his hopes, and the situation as it stands now.
What do you have to do this week to get back on the field next week?
I don't know. I just take it one day at a time and just see how it heals. And you know, not try to, you know, stress it or not try to rush it. But, you know, just make sure I'm getting my proper treatment.
When you have a guy like Nick behind you, make it, you know, more so that you're going to take your time and get back healthy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a quarterback behind you who can play, who go out there and get the job done. The team believe in him, the guys believe in him, you know, the coaching staff believe in him. And, you know, you don't have to rush it. You don't have to try to, you know, put your, you know, stress it out and make it even worse. So, you know, it's a good opportunity to be. It's a good opportunity for me. It's a good space to be in.
Are you at all afraid, though, if Nick continues to put up numbers like this, that it might be his job?
Oh, not at all. I mean, not at all. I mean, that's the game of football. Nick's a great player. He's a great football player. He, you know, he does exactly what he needs to do when he go out on the field. So, you know, I mean, that's not something I'm going to worry about. I'm going to worry about getting healthy.
Has Chip given you any reassurances that you're going to be the guy once you do get healthy?
I mean, no, we haven't talked about that. I mean, there's no need to talk about it. You know, we got to go with the momentum. We got to go with the flow. And as players, you know, we do what we ask to do.
You have to be cautious. Is that why you didn't play, and do you think you can play next week?
I mean, like you said, you just got to be cautious with an injury like this. You know, if you go out there and stress it out, then, you know, you hurt yourself for the next 2 weeks, for the next 3 weeks. So, you know, I just got to make sure I'm 100% when I'm out there.
The Eagles have really gotten some big plays from start to finish this year from DeSean Jackson. I think he's playing his best football, and that includes the two seasons he made the Pro Bowl. Jackson against Darrelle Revis for much of the time on Sunday, and it wasn't all the time. The Eagles did a good job moving him around and creating some space for Jackson. A couple of touchdown catches, targeted quite a bit, looked good. Six times he's targeted. Six receptions, 64 yards for Jackson. Really, really big plays. Moved in from the line of scrimmage. Was able to get free, and it was just critical that he was able to do that because the Eagles need that downfield threat. DeSean Jackson averaging just 10.7 yards per reception. So from that standpoint, he drops a little bit. But he's second in the NFL with 589 receiving yards, and that big play threat. Remember, this is an offense that does not have Jeremy Maclin. So the Eagles need it on a weekly basis from Jackson. They are getting it from DeSean. Absolutely having a Pro Bowl season and just pleased after the game to be part of the team victory.
Good game. You know, I felt going into this game, it was going to be a tough one. 0-14. You know, second week in a row we played a team that was, you know, over and didn't have no win. So, you know, anytime NFL game you have that going, teams are going to go out there and do the best they can to, you know, and fight so hard to get a win. And, you know, regardless of my stats at the end of the day, you know, I just wanted to help my team win the game. And, you know, that was to come out here and play together and, you know, do some great things out there, which we was able to do. But, you know, I tip my hat off to Tampa. They went out there, they gave it their all, they fought. And, you know, it was a tough battle from start to finish. So it was a good game. I'm just happy we came out on top. You know, it's a good matchup, good battle. You know, like I said, I feel confident in myself to be able to go out there, you know, and, you know, make some big plays, which was able to happen a couple of times. But, you know, he's more of an outside corner, so I don't really think he, you know, likes to cover inside and things like that. So just to get a mismatch on me on the safeties, that was a great play call by Chip at the right time. You know, put us up 8 points, and our defense was able to come out there and stop their offense, and we were able to come down the field, run the clock down a little bit, and kick a field goal. So, you know, that was a big part of the game towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter. You know, he came in, you know, really gave us an opportunity to win a football game. So anytime you have a guy, I don't really look at Nick as a backup because, you know, he's played with the ones so much throughout the offseason, throughout training camp and things like that. So he's very familiar with the guys we have in there. And he does a great job of coming in and really just giving us the opportunity to win games. So you know, I think he did a great job, you know, and just getting better. So once again, this game's over. We have a big game next week to focus on. You know, Dallas Cowboys coming to our game, rivalry game, so we're excited about that.
17.3 yards per reception for Jackson. That puts him in a group of wide receivers in the NFL, among them Torrey Smith and Jordy Nelson and Josh Gordon, Hakeem Nicks. Smith is averaging about 20 yards per catch, but the rest of them right around 17. These are playmakers down the field, and that's what the Eagles need. And Jackson also doing it, getting into the end zone. Huge part of this Eagles offense. We take a look at the top performers from yesterday's game. Yeah, that's pretty impressive all the way across. And let's not forget Riley Cooper, 120 yards receiving. Jason Avant with some catches. Eagles completing passes to 9 receivers. Bryce Brown came in and helped the Eagles milk the clock at the end of the game. He ran the football well. Just a great, great, great offensive performance. The scheme works, people. Be excited about that. We go into the Eagles' locker room and talk to some of the offensive players. Jason Kelce, the brains of the operation, very pleased with the Eagles' 60 minutes of offense on Sunday.
I think we had a great game plan. I mean, that's one thing that Chip does outstanding. I mean, him and Pat put us in great situations week in, week out in the running game especially. And bottom line is, as an offensive line, we adjusted much better this game than we did last game, me in particular.
We talked about coming out strong and slowing the rush down, making some plays. And I think just the screen helped us out. You know, guys made some blocks on field. And then we scored. Everything we called, you know, the red zone has been a problem for us. And I think today we kind of answered it.
That first drive was excellent. You know, ran through some difficulties there, I think, in the second quarter. And we needed a big second half. You know, got a turnover there by defense. And I think we really, you know, executed the run a lot better this week than we did last week.
That's the best and the most fluid the offense has moved since Washington, I feel like. I feel like we were doing a good job of using tempo. I felt like we were constantly making the ref move from the ball. That's one of the top signs that you're doing a good job of tempo, is that you're waiting there for the ref to spot the ball. I think that in past weeks, and that's partly been by design, we've slowed it down a little bit, and that was something that we certainly made an emphasis this week, that we wanted to get back to some more of that tempo stuff, which has been our MO.
I don't know how he does it or what makes him do it, but it just makes the right call, the instant type of thing. As far as the way I run the ball or when guys make plays, the same way. He just knows the down distance, what calls to make. I think on almost all our conversions, third and down and one that's short, we kind of got. So he's made some plays. And even sometimes we were slowing them down and then seeing what type of defense they were in and then going. He just makes the right calls.
And how about Riley Cooper? Targeted 6 times, 4 receptions, 120 yards to just 8 catches in the first 5 games of the season. That big 47-yard touchdown catch and then a 44-yard catch and run that led to an Eagles touchdown. Really good stuff here. Cooper, the little hitch route. A lot of hitch routes. Down the field he goes for the touchdown. Nice separation here from cornerback Jonathan Banks. Nice throw from Nick Foles. And for Cooper, a wonderful, wonderful homecoming for that young man. Great enthusiasm, terrific blocker. Making plays for the Eagles offense. You see how much of a difference it makes. Look at that move inside, then outside, and whoop, down the sideline for Riley Cooper. He talked after the game about it and was pretty darn happy about things. All right, now defense. We've got some looks there. The Eagles start a little slowly. We're going to get to that on the other side. We take a break. Reminder, Chip Kelly coming your way. But the Eagles defense, certainly worthy of a long conversation. Some big plays, particularly in the second half, limiting Tampa Bay to just 3 points in that second half. We're coming back here. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. Stay tuned. We'll get your phone calls in a bit. And Chip Kelly on the way.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
When the Eagles win, you win. Win thanks to our friends at Dunkin' Donuts. Just download the Dunkin' mobile app and receive a free medium coffee or a 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win, which is today. So if you've got that Dunkin' Donuts mobile app and you are living in the Philadelphia region and you go to a participating Dunkin' Donuts, you have one on the Eagles and on Dunkin' Donuts. Because when the Eagles win, you win. That's the way it works. All right, the Eagles defense coming up big when it counted on Sunday against Tampa Bay. Working against a rookie quarterback in Mike Glennon, a good running back in Doug Martin, an offensive line missing one starter, Nick's the right guard. The Eagles started a little slowly, trailed at halftime 17-14. One turnover hurting the Eagles, a couple of big plays as well hurting the Eagles. Let's take a look at some of the numbers defensively from your Philadelphia Eagles, who are getting better. There's no question about it. But it is taking some time, as we expected. 32nd in the league still in yards per game. Doesn't matter. What matters is that the Eagles, at the time they needed it to get better, it got better on Sunday with a Bradley Fletcher interception, then a Connor Barwin sack. And that set up the Eagles offense for some points the other way. That was very nice to see. Chip Kelly talking a little bit about the defense. It's not all about offense here. He's about the defense as well. Kelly addressing some of the good things he saw from the Eagles' defense in the 31-20 victory over Tampa Bay.
I thought our defense did a really good job. You know, they got pressure on the quarterback. You know, there's a couple third and longs there, what I think we want back. But overall, we were around the ball. You know, again, we've kept the ball in front of us. We haven't had any balls thrown over our head. Fletch had a huge pick to start the second half for us, and that was huge for us, and we capitalized on that. You know, came away with a touchdown in that situation. I thought we were going to have another one. Brandon dropped that one, you know, and even in some of the third downs they converted, we were extremely close, you know, to either getting the quarterback down or to, you know, I thought for a young quarterback, I thought he did a pretty good job in executing. So, you know, we're getting better each week, and we'll take this one, we'll grow from it, and we'll go from there. Yeah, but he went back in. So he was out for a couple snaps, but then he was cleared and went back in. So I think he was in at the end. So I don't know. Again, during a game, they just tell me if a guy's up or down. So
you got caught there without him, and then Rock got called for the pass interference. He's still out there. They came up, and him and Wolf kind of got that final breakup. How important was the guys to kind of step up?
Yeah, I think Rock's a guy that's really done a nice job since we acquired him just a little while ago. He's starting to – each week you see him improving, and I think it helps us, you know, with our depth at corner. You know, we got Fletch, we got Brandon, we got Kerry, and now I think Rock's kind of emerging as that fourth guy. So it was, you know, in a game like this, especially with the heat, you know, you knew you were going to have to play a lot of guys, and I know we did. But, you know, I think when Rock went in there, I think you're starting to see things out. And he's done a great job for us in the last couple of games, special teams-wise, especially as a gunner, but I think he's starting to come along as a corner.
What quarterback would you think of
him? I thought Mike did a really nice job. You know, I think he's very accurate. You know, there's a couple times we were draped on receivers on third down, and you know, he put the ball only in the spot where the receiver could catch it. You know, for a rookie quarterback, and really I think it's his second start, I was really, really impressed with Mike today.
Bill Davis has been very patient with this group. We'll hear from him in just a moment. D'Amico Ryan's having a nice season. 12 solo tackles in Sunday's win against Tampa Bay. Bradley Fletcher, his first interception, had some pass defenses, and I really like the way he battles down the field, doing a nice job. And Connor Barwin making the impact in the backfield, his third sack of the season, tackle for loss, a quarterback hit, a couple of tackles as well. Connor Barwin Eagles trying to generate some pass rush on a consistent basis, and they will need it this week against the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo really moving that Cowboys offense, potent in both the run game and in the passing game. We'll talk about that as it's Beat Dallas Week here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's go in the locker room, talk to Bill Davis, talk to Connor Barwin. The Eagles defense, the topic of conversation.
Earl, all our young guys, you know, we saw Benny Logan jump in there, make a couple plays. So we're happy with where the young guys are progressing. You know, it really just go into every game just scrapping all you can scrap to get a win out of here, and that's what we did today. And I think we did get better as a group, and I think Earl's coming along with that group. When you dissect the little things like the pass rush, I don't know, but our guys were all over the quarterback and disrupting his throwing motion, and it causes different plays. Boykin should have had a pick six maybe at the end there, where he dropped one right in his hands. But the combination of the line games and how they're getting better is making the ball come out, and the pressure, you know, we're putting some pressure on them. The DBs are getting a better feel for how often we want them to press and when we play off and how they're playing with each other. So all those little things are moving forward. And as we get wins and they move forward, that's where it gets exciting. With D-line, it was just called, you know, it was a four-man rush games, and we had good coverage behind it. Usually when you have a sack, you get some pretty good coverage behind it. So the coverage was sound behind it, and they just had a little me game, and Connor came flying around and got a big sack for us.
And we gave him, about three big plays in that second quarter. We kind of refocused that halftime and tightened everything down and played well in the second half. Well, I think they hit us, with a couple of really good play action plays. And then they had a couple of runs that we let get out a little bit. Guys came out energized and excited. We knew we had to hold them to three, and that's anytime that happens, you can hold a team out of the end zone. That's big. We had a nice game with Benny. He did a great job, got upfield. The guard followed him, and I just wrapped around. Center went the other way, and it's a great job by Benny.
All right, good stuff from Bill Davis, from Connor Barwin. We take a break on the other side. We take some phone calls. Jimmy from Vegas, you are up next. 215-339-6709. We're coming right back. Chip Kelly coming up real soon. It's Eagles Live. We'll be back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. Memories guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
D Dave Spadaro back with you. Chip Kelly on the way. It's Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on this Monday, the first day of Beat Dallas Week here at the NovaCare Complex. Let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule. Presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster. For the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets, visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. Big one against the Cowboys, followed by another NFC East biggie. Both at home, the Giants and the Cowboys, before the Eagles head back to the road at the Raiders. Eagles fans and Raiders fans, oh, what an afternoon that will be. And then the Eagles rolling through November at Green Bay, home against the Redskins. So three straight home games against NFC East opponents before the bye week. And then the Eagles finish up with five tough games, culminating with one that could mean everything in the NFC East at the Dallas Cowboys. Let's take some phone calls now. We'll start with Jimmy in Las Vegas. Hi, Jimmy. Good afternoon, or good morning to you.
Beat Dallas.
Yeah.
Dave, traditionally, everybody has to say that when they call in. Beat
yes.
Dallas.
Thank you.
Hey, it's great to see Riley Cooper off of the witness protection program.
Well, he got targeted six times. I think that helps a lot when you get opportunities.
Yes, for him. Hey, a couple predictions. Lane Johnson scores his first NFL touchdown as the Eagles defeat the Cowpokes 42-24.
That's your official prediction, Jimmy?
That's it, Dave. I'm kicking it off. 42-24, Lane Johnson, first touchdown.
42-24. Thanks, Jimmy.
Dave, tell me about special teams. How did they look? Do they hold up?
Well, they had the big punt return allowed. That was a problem. Down the kick at the one-yard line, that was terrific. I thought Donnie Jones was outstanding the whole game. Alex Henry had a solid game. Return game not getting where the Eagles needed to be. I think DeMarcus Johnson bringing out some kickoffs that he might be better to down in the end zone. But by and large, I other than return games, and they've given up a couple of kick returns here, one to Trindon Holiday and it was a 40-yarder yesterday. So that's got to tighten up a bit. But I guess if there's a want, absolutely got to get the return game going. Jake in Massachusetts joins us. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, Dave?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
Just a question for you. How
yes.
do you feel about our wide receivers? I mean, I know Riley had a good day yesterday, but the fact is...
How would you like me to feel about the wide receivers, Jake? Because
well,
obviously you
I'm
have an opinion.
I'm just thinking there's names that are being thrown out.
There's no name. There's not. There will not be a trade made.
There
okay?
will not.
I don't think so.
What about with Jeremy Maclin? Not being guaranteed.
Jeremy Maclin's hurt, right? So, I mean, you want to trade for Hakeem Nicks, right? Is that what you want? Now that Peter King mentioned it,
actually,
you want to trade for Hakeem? You
want
to trade for Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon would fit.
Yeah, I think I read Joe Banner saying that they're not shopping Josh Gordon and they have no intention of trading Josh Gordon.
So you don't think anything's going to happen?
I really don't. I mean, I'd be very surprised if it did. How about that? I'm sure that Howie works the phones and there's conversations being had and I don't know what teams are looking for, but I guess I'd be very surprised, yeah.
Okay, and what do you think about Jeremy Maclin coming back next year?
You know, his contract is up. I think he would be absolutely outstanding in this offense. But I think right now the Eagles are going to have to do what they do, and they're doing it quite well with the group of wide receivers, tight ends, running backs that they have right now.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm really hoping he comes back because I think
yeah.
the offense will flow fantastic with him.
Yeah, and I'm not saying. And thanks for the call, Jake. I'm not saying you do not address this position at some point, whether it's during the season or not, after the season, free agency, the draft. We see that this scheme works very, very well. Eagles are 27.7 points per game, fifth in the NFL. And that's not including any special teams touchdowns, nor is it including any defensive touchdowns. So this is a legit offense in the first year of the scheme using two quarterbacks so far. You know, the Eagles are making these numbers that are this many yards, that this kind of balance, and they're compared to teams like Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos and Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and Dan Fouts in 1983 and the San Diego Chargers. Just think of the possibilities when the Eagles get on the same page here. And they've only had six games, so it's getting better and better and better. All right, Doug in Connecticut joins us. Hi, Doug.
What's going on?
How are you?
Got that hope. That hope is back. You know, it's been a while since you've been this far into the year, and you just got that hope. You know, you see what the team's done, and we got a big game coming up, and I'm just psyched to get it on.
It's an entirely different feeling than last year, 3-3. The Eagles were 3-1 at one point last year. Then they lose to Detroit. Then they lose to Pittsburgh. You got a new defensive coordinator in town. I mean, you just kind of felt the end of the era, right?
Yeah.
Now you feel like everything's possible in the future.
Yeah, it's just so many things are coming in front of us. You know, we got a quarterback thing going on, and honestly, and you're probably going to get into it later, but I really don't mind who goes to war with us. It could be either guy. You know, I think Nick yesterday, that first deep ball was beautiful. The way Cooper just kind of bumped that guy down the field at the end to get that separation, and then it was just a perfect pass to me. And, you know, Sunday, whoever it is, yeah, my confidence is pretty high. So,
yeah.
And Dallas is banged up, so.
Yeah, they are. Thanks for the call, Doug. I saw DeMarcus Ware go out. We'll get an update from him on his quad injury, and DeMarco Murray went out. Take a look at the two quarterbacks. Michael Vick, the big difference here, the completion percentage for sure. Nick Foles, 6 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions. The quarterback rating is terrific. Not as explosive, obviously, in the running game, the impromptu running game, the spontaneous big gains from Vick certainly make a difference in the offense. But both of them playing well, scoring points, doing their job, and Eagles have 2 quarterbacks they know they can win with. All right, Chris in Virginia joins us. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Definitely glad to get 2 wins in a row. You know, as they say, Dallas sucks.
Dallas does suck.
So let's just get 1 win at a time and try and keep building on that. You know, there's some good things to take away from yesterday's games.
Tell me.
You know, things I liked. I liked we only had 3 penalties. That's always
right.
a good
point. Good point.
You shoot yourself in the foot. I like how we're scoring points. You know, we're did a little better in the red zone, 2 or 3. You got to like
oh,
that.
Oh, did a lot. No. Let's did a lot better in the red zone.
Yeah.
That was there. That was 2 of 2 until the Eagles basically tried to milk the clock at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the other thing I like. I like the long drive at the end of the game, how, you know, we ran the ball. We weren't trying to go up tempo. They killed the clock. There's just a lot of good things to draw on, and it's just exciting. Like you said, this is the first year in this offense, and hopefully things can only get better. And, you know, I'm just excited about things to come, Dave.
Yes, sir, Chris. Thank you, man.
Yep, take care.
We'll hear from you. Don't forget, we've got predictions coming up this week starting. Well, Jimmy started today, but we'll probably get into a little bit more tomorrow. Chip Kelly on the way. We take a break, and then the head coach comes in, talks about his day-after analysis. The quarterback situation, oh, it'll be a topic, and Chip Kelly will talk about it on the other side here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's Eagles Live. We are coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most high sports. It's Xfinity.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
All right, welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. We're live on Eagles Live here all the way through Thursday, noon to 1. A reminder, new kind of broadcast schedule here. Each morning we'll have the live press conferences, and then after practice we will also broadcast those press conferences live. So we're bringing it to you. Everything live here that we can possibly give you, we're giving. Both on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, on our app. If you haven't downloaded the Eagles app, tisk, 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 gives you unlimited access 24/7 through your phone. So make sure you do it now. The Eagles official app, 500,000 of you have done so. Just about the audience that we have right about now as it's climbing for Chip Kelly. Ken in the Lehigh Valley joins us. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just a quick discussion on the QBs.
Okay.
You know, if I look at Mike Vick, who's been phenomenal at times, 3 years ago was one of the most exciting seasons we've seen.
Yep.
From you know, the pure high energy level. But if I look at a pure quarterback win type of thing, Mike Vick is who he is. You know, he historically has been under 60% passing percentage.
Well, but you want to look at him in pure win, you said,
well,
right?
Well, wins.
So he's won. He won two games this year. Well,
right.
A game and a half,
one,
let's say.
Yeah, he won one. 1-3. Foles is 2-0.
The Eagles led 16-6 when Vic went out of the game.
Okay. But
against the Giants.
All right, I think Foles deserves a little credit for the win.
I think they're both terrific. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
I assume, Ken, that you're talking that you would like to see Nick Foles.
Well, I would, yeah. I think that Foles is more of a pocket presence. He's more in control. He doesn't get hurried. He knows how to move the pocket, keeps his eyes down the field. He's very methodical.
Agreed. And he moves, you're right, he's not the speedster, but he does move in and around the pocket very nicely.
Absolutely. And I think within Chip's system, if you look at Marcus Mariota at Oregon, you know, he's not a real scrambler. I mean, he is the QB that looks down the field, he keeps his eyes down the field, he utilizes his weapons. And I think that's what Foles does better than Vic. You know, not that I dislike Michael Vick, I think he's an exciting player. But I think if you're looking for pure wins and for the future, I think Nick Foles actually gives you a better opportunity.
Well, Ken, I appreciate the intelligent perspective.
All right,
good, Dave.
Hey, keep on popping.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. I think that everybody is certainly entitled to their opinion, and I understand if you're in one camp or the other camp, or maybe you're in the camp of both players. And I'm not talking about using both of them together in a system, here comes the red zone quarterback, or here comes the third down quarterback, or here comes the wildcat quarterback. Eventually, you want one quarterback to be kind of your player moving forward. Now, Michael Vick obviously has some age on him. Nick doesn't in his second year. Is Nick Foles – we ask this question all the time on the website, and people keep saying, we want to find the quarterback of the future. Why can't Nick be the quarterback of the future? Had a terrific rookie season. Is off to a terrific start here in 2013. Paul in Maryland joins us. Hey, Paul.
Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So I'm assuming that the topic of conversation today is Nick Foles.
It's part of it. It's not the whole thing.
Okay. I just want to weigh in with my opinion.
Sure.
I feel like that we've seen enough of Nick Foles in the preseason to determine that he's not a starting QB. And, you know, in my opinion, if you play two teams with a combined record of 0-11, you're going to have pretty good stats.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, going into this Dallas game, it's a very detrimental game, and I don't think that Nick Foles is ready.
So what has he done to convince you that he is not a starting caliber quarterback, other than throw six touchdowns, zero interceptions, and have a quarterback rating of what? Wait, hang on. And have
okay,
a quarterback
ahead,
rating of 127.9. I'm not going to get into a Vic versus Foles thing because I support
right.
both of them. But I'd like
right.
to hear your reasoning for this. If you are going to look at this objectively, you can't say, well, he played against two winless teams and tore them up, because that Tampa Bay defense was not torn up by Drew Brees. It was not torn up by Carson Palmer. It was not torn up by anybody that they played prior to yesterday.
Right. Okay. I can agree. I can agree.
You know, I mean, let's give Nick Foles. I'll give Michael Vick his due when it's due, and you got to give Nick Foles his due when it's due. And it was absolutely a tremendous performance yesterday. The man accounted for four touchdowns.
Dave, I feel like we've been down this road before, and I'm going to bring up a name, Kevin Cobb. And I feel like last time, we thought that he was going to be the superstar, and it didn't turn out that way. Where's Kevin Cobb now? He's not even playing.
Right.
Now, as far as, you know, back to Nick Foles, I mean, when he went against, to me, caliber teams in the time that he played in the preseason, he didn't look that great. So, I mean, for us to sit there and say, oh, okay, Nick Foles is the starter, I thought that we were trying to determine that in preseason.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, we've seen some things in preseason that we felt like that, you know, he couldn't be the starter. So now, you know, the way that luck turned, he had two good games statistically against two very bad teams.
Yep.
And now we're shooting
but
for
not
first
two very bad, but not two very bad defenses. Paul, thank you for the call. I will say this. I don't think Nick Foles lost the job in the preseason. I think Michael Vick won the quarterback job. You know, when that decision was made, I think Michael was something like 13 of 14 in two preseason games and earned the starting job and has played well in the regular season, taking nothing away from Michael Vick. Nick Foles, though, give the man his credit. In six quarters, he has been virtually flawless. All right? So it's not a matter of one quarterback versus the other. And I don't know which way Chip is leaning, and I support both of his decisions. And this offense has proven that it can be successful with either Nick or with Michael. I think the first step here is Michael Vick healthy enough to play? And we're going to hear from Chip Kelly in just a moment. But please, it is unfair for anybody to say that Nick Foles doesn't deserve credit for what he's done or that Michael Vick doesn't deserve credit for what he's done. They've both had success this season. That's why I don't think it's a good quarterback situation. And to compare Nick to Kevin Cobb is interesting. The Eagles made the decision that Kevin Cobb would be their quarterback of the future, and they traded Donovan McNabb. They also had Michael Vick on the roster at the time. Michael's situation is completely different. Last year of his contract, I'm not sure this is a new coaching regime. Neither of these players was acquired necessarily, although Chip Kelly decided to keep Michael Vick around. But, I mean, I don't think there's any in the coaching parlance, there's no anything due and no allegiance necessarily to either one of these players. It's certainly many would understand if Chip said, you know what, we're going to start over next year and I'm going to find my quarterback in the draft or in free agency or what have you, a trade. I think people would look at that and say, okay, but how can you overlook what Nick Foles has done? It's not fair. Guy's been great, and yesterday he was terrific. All right, let's talk to Shannon in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Shannon.
Big Dave, what's going on, brother?
How are you?
Listen, man, that other caller, he's not being objective, man. I'm going to be objective. I like Vic and Nick Foles, but I do have Nick is my favorite, and I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people say that Vic gives us more opportunities to win. I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
Okay.
Number one, you can't teach 6'6". He can see over the offensive line, and he goes through his reads progression. Vic doesn't do that. Okay. Michael Vick is athletic. I like that.
Hey, Shannon, I'm sorry to cut you off. Chip Kelly, ready to address the media. Thank you very much. Get back to us, Shannon, all right? Let's go to Chip Kelly right now addressing the media.
Oh. Bright light, we're at the light for it.
Yeah, we're high tech.
We're high tech now.
Chip, the most important question.
Yes.
Why did Nick Foles kneel down on the last play of the game from the shotgun? That's what you guys thought.
Well, obviously Tampa Bay is known for trying to attack and disrupt the snap. So it's just something we worked on and talked about that, you know, try to take them out of that element where they're not going to disrupt the center quarterback exchange. And, you know, we knew what they did, and it's kind of something that Coach Shano has done for the 2 years he's been there. So
that's what you talked about with Nick.
Yeah, so we had discussed it during the week, and it was just something, you know, you want to not cause a pile up trying to get out of the game. And if they were going to try that tactic, then if we were back in the gun, maybe they wouldn't do it. So
when did that Nick Curtis going?
Whatever day that was, Thursday or Friday or whatever day went on the report.
At practice tomorrow, who gets the first team snaps?
Depends on where we are from a health depth standpoint. So
have you talked to Michael today?
Have I talked to Michael? No, he was in, but I didn't talk to him yet. So.
going to ask, where are you right now from a health deficit?
I don't know until those guys get here and start running around a little bit tomorrow. So,
Chip, going into this game, when you were asked if Michael's 100% healthy, is he your starting quarterback? You said yes. What has changed since then? Because yesterday you said you're going to evaluate.
Yeah, I was talking about Michael's health, so that's what we're going to evaluate.
So is he still the starting quarterback when he's 100% healthy?
Decisions are made, whether it's James Casey with a groin or Mike with a hamstring or Chris Polk with a shoulder. All our decisions on who's going to play is based on health. So,
well, Sean said after the game that you made it clear that Mike is the starter. Is that something that you have re-emphasized, or was that just that?
No, I have no idea what he's talking about. So, me and LeSean did not talk about it, anything like that after the game, so I don't know where the reference of after the game I said that, so I don't know.
After the game, but have you made that point?
I haven't talked to anybody about any of that stuff, so we don't talk about that stuff. We just get ready to go play the next team.
Does it matter locker room-wise in terms of your decision? I mean, I keep reading, you know, losing the locker room. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe you do. Does that factor into your how the
I don't. All of our decisions are made on what's going to give us the best opportunity to win, and we have to put healthy guys on the field and make sure if we can get a scheme together that's going to help us beat the Cowboys. So that's all we're talking about. So there's not any – I don't see any divisions or one side going one way or one side going another. It's, you know, Mike wasn't 100% on Sunday, and Nick did an outstanding job. And, you know, I said when this whole thing started, we were fortunate that we had two quarterbacks, and it showed already this season that you got to have two really good quarterbacks to win in this league. And that's where I feel we are right now. So,
with a guy like Mike, I mean, obviously running's a big part of this game. Would you wait until like his hamstring is like fully healed, like 100% healed? I mean, obviously you don't want to put him in.
No, I think Mike's legs are a big important part of his game. So, you know, that's part of the decision that's in terms of putting the whole thing together, in terms of where he is and what he can do and what's his effectiveness. So,
now, Chip, 100% is a fairly subjective term. Out there, what do you need to see from Mike?
Just how does he run around, and how is he in practice, and, you know, can he execute the way we need him to execute?
I mean, with that said, then, I mean, there's a chance like that could take longer to heal because that's such a big component of this game.
Sure.
You're 7 weeks into the season, you're going to be playing for first place. Are you satisfied with where the program is?
Now, and again, we don't talk about first place 7th week into the season. You know, the only time we talk about wherever this thing finishes on December 29th after our last game. So I've seen improvement from our team from where we started to where we are right now. We're still disappointed in the three losses that we have. So, you know, you can't say, hey, we're really happy where we are right now. You know, you don't want to be 3-3. You wish you were 6-0. So.
Well, Nick's quarterback draw, some of the players said that was something they worked on this last week. Is the fact that maybe – guys wouldn't expect, defenses wouldn't expect him to go, something you could use in that play? Or was it just that he saw the numbers, I think there were 6 in the box there, and he saw it as an opportunity for him to take advantage of that?
No, it was a design run call. It wasn't a check with me or look around and see what they're in defensively. We just looked at how Tampa Bay was deploying themselves inside the red zone, inside the 3-yard line, and we had that play up, whether Nick was a quarterback, Matt was a quarterback, you were the quarterback, Mike was a quarterback. That play was just called in from the sideline, and we called it.
Would he have had the option to
no.
pull a lot of it if there were, like, 8 in a box? No.
Play was called. We run it.
Chip, did you diagram different things for Riley Cooper, you know, compared to the last couple of games? How was he able to have such an effect?
No, we didn't. We ran the same offense, did the same things. Riley's been open a lot. We just haven't thrown the ball to him. You know, that's the one thing when you look at the production out of a receiver is we always look at catches and drops. You know, I think we had him for 2 drops on the season so far, and I think when the ball's been thrown to Riley, he's had an opportunity and he's done it. And the ball was thrown to him more on Sunday, and he took advantage of it. You know, I know there's a stat out there about targets, but targets are who's ever the receiver around when the ball's thrown. So if I threw the ball out of bounds right now and it's Howard's the only guy over there, it's a target for Howard. But if it's 14 feet over his head, that's not the receiver's fault. So, you know, we've been happy with Riley. When the ball's been thrown to him, he's caught it, and he proved it again on Sunday for us. We've had confidence in him the whole way, and I was happy that he could show that.
So, when you watch tape of Tampa leading up the game, did you see them play a lot of zone against other teams also?
Yeah, that's their MO. They did what, you know, we knew that going in, and that's what they're going to do. They start with a Tampa 2 coverage defense, and you know, they play some man and some man free out of pressure situations, and I think they pretty much stuck to what we saw in the games that we had broken down on them.
How concerned are you about Patrick Chung's shoulder? In the first play, he actually was involved in it.
I don't know, but we are concerned. When anybody's hurt, and this is, he missed a game and didn't finish his last game, so it's obviously a concern for us.
What was your impression of Brent Celek took a shot to the head on that screen he ran in the second quarter? How was he after that? Did you have to back off his reps at all?
No, I think Brent, again played an outstanding game. If you watch the tape and watch how well he blocked, really specifically, you watch the last drive of the game. I mean, he was just moving people. I really think he's probably been the most underrated or underappreciated. I know from a coaching standpoint that Brent through six games for us has been fantastic. And a warrior, just doing everything, really helping in the blocking game, had some key catches on the screen. He's come up with some really big catches during the season. But I thought Brent played another outstanding football game.
So Ertz getting his most snaps of the season had more just to do with trying to get him involved.
We were a lot more Tiger personnel. That's two tight ends in the game if you look at it. So we also knew it was going to be 86 degrees in there. So I think we played a lot more guys. We're really conscious about the rotation just because we were aware of the heat. So I know Jeff played more. Damaris played more. That was kind of part of our thought process going into the game. If it was going to be that hot, we're going to make sure we rotated those guys.
So Brent snaps, it was a 12% decrease in Brent snaps. Is that the byproduct of the heat?
Yeah, we were rotating. We knew that going in. We we're 5-6 days out. It was supposed to be 80-something degrees down there. So we're just going to try to play a lot more guys in those situations. So.
How many were situations where they were able to bring a lot of pressure on Nick? It seemed like you had guys unblocked. Was that by design? Were you,
Depends on what we're in, Les. It's a good question. Sometimes we're in six-man protection and they brought an extra guy. We either got to get that ball out quick or throw it hot or redirect some things. So,
did you make an adjustment there? It seemed like it got better.
Yeah, I think that's the game that goes on within the game of, hey, we want to stay out of that if we're, because of what they brought, or maybe not call that in that situation or leave an extra guy in certain situations. Maybe go back to some seven-man protection and then you can pick up the extra guy. They brought it again one more time. Nick did a good job of getting rid of the ball and throwing it hot. So I think that's part of the process that goes on. But there were a couple times they caught us. You got to, kind of tip your hat to them.
How do you evaluate Nick got sacked? -9, and then they brought the safety. You guys were going the other way. It looked like there was not even a hot or a guy that Nick could have thrown to on that one.
Yeah, there was. Look at the tape. We got to get the ball out.
That's hard. But who was the guy that who was open?
We had two receivers. They can go to right side or left side with it. So.
How would you evaluate Nick's performance?
I thought Nick did a really nice job. Really, really happy with how we performed within our offense. Did a good job of taking what the defense gave us. There's a lot of times where he got us out of some bad plays and got us into some good ones with some decisions he made. So we were really happy with how Nick played.
Gordon and D'Amico did very well against the run. Kind of a wall in the middle of that defense. Did you see why are those guys so important to what you guys done?
Well, I think everybody is. I don't think you can just single out two guys in terms of that. I thought D'Amico played a really, really, really good game in terms of what he did. But I thought Soap played a really good game. We also think Fletcher Cox may have played his best game as a, since we've been here up front. But I think it starts with, all three of those guys up front being able to occupy some blockers so that D'Amico and Michael can run and make some plays. But I thought our D-line in general, the biggest concern for us going into the game was Doug Martin and his ability to run the football. And you're starting a rookie quarterback. And I think maybe that went a little bit unnoticed. We held him to 67 yards. And our process going into this thing was number one thing we were going to do was stop the run. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that overall from a team standpoint.
Jim, where are you with Damaris and his judgment, his decision-making on kickoffs deep in the end zone?
Yeah, we got to talk to him about that. I know the one, he was pretty deep on 9. We don't want to take it out from that deep. And I know myself and Coach Phipple talked to him a little bit about that, understanding who we're playing, what the situation is. But we probably don't want to take it out there because, we want to get the touchback will get us to the 20. So he probably wants that one back, but we probably want that one back too. So.
How much have you guys worked with Nick on the deep ball? Is there anything that you tweaked as you're bringing him along or something?
Something we do every day. We throw it first period every day. We throw deep balls and something we work on. And we had an opportunity, how they were playing us coverage-wise, and we call for a jet route, and Riley did a good job of stacking the receiver, and Nick did a great job of putting the ball where it needed to be.
Does it give you any kind of competitive advantage to not name the starting quarterback this week until Sunday or when you play?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they're still going to practice. So.
It's two straight weeks that Deshaun's red zone touchdown. Has there been more concerted effort to get him in? He hasn't been
main resident target
in my career here, he has. So, I mean, I haven't looked at whatever they did with him in the past. You know, we don't change our receivers when we get down inside. So, you know, he's a real good route runner, and he's a tough matchup down there. And, you know, we've had that play in for 4 or 5 weeks. It was just somebody was stupid enough not to call it in the first couple of weeks, and somebody was smart enough to call it on Sunday. So,
you're the offensive lineman, said you worked on what the defensive line was doing from slanting guys, I think, against the Jaguars, because again, they had a problem with that as well. What were defenses seeing that they could kind of penetrate, and what did you guys do to kind of adapt?
It's just a matter of you zone blocking or man blocking, you know, so it just depends on the call that goes into the game. And do we want to man these guys or do we want to zone them? So, and I think you got to be able to do both because, you know, people are going to stand there man blocking. It's a little bit better because you can get better movement, but if they're going to slant and angle, then you need to zone it. So,
what's Polk's status right now?
Polk is got a shoulder. We hope he's back this week, but I don't think he'll be full tomorrow. And I don't think Jason Peters will be full tomorrow, but I expect Jason back on Wednesday. So, yep, on both those guys.
What about Chung? You know,
Chung's got a shoulder. I think those would be the three that wouldn't be full tomorrow.
But. Chip, what qualities does Nick have that make him so productive and efficient in the red zone?
He executes the plays that we call. So, I think a lot of our red zone I didn't do a good job calling plays and, you know, putting ourselves in good situations. And I think we called plays, and Nick put the ball where we're supposed to be. So,
what did Fletcher Cox do so well yesterday?
You know, we had him for 5 pressures on the quarterback. I think Fletch really caused a lot of havoc in there. Is probably the best way to say it. You know, I think he tied up a lot of blockers and then really pushed the pocket really, really well from inside. Got a key holding penalty. You know, he initiated it, and they had to hold him. You know, I think he's starting to come into his own up there, and really impressed with just how hard he played. On Sunday.
How does the staff define a pass pressure? Does he have to make the quarterback escape the pocket, get a hand on him?
Yeah, it's a combination. He doesn't have to get a hand on him, but if you can make him move and disrupt in kind of terms of where the launch point is and take the quarterback off his set point, I think is how we're describing it. So,
Jim, Deshaun's second touchdown, he was lined up in the slot. Was that done to see if maybe if Revis wouldn't?
I know what you mean, but that's now. Deshaun lines up in the slot for us a lot. I mean, it depends on what formation we're in. The little shallow cross route that he caught on the first drive for a touchdown, he was lined up in the slot. There's a lot of times when we can line him up at number 2 or number 3, depending on the formation we're in, but that's part of what we do with him is in our ability to move him around is that he is an outside receiver for us, but by certain formation calls, we can get him in to be an inside receiver for us. So. I think that the same thing. It's who do you take out? Because I would say to date, Cedric Thornton's been our most impressive defensive lineman. Now Fletch is coming along, and obviously Vinny has the skill set. But, you know, where are you from a pressure standpoint? I think we need all of them, and I think Az is doing a really good job of rotating those guys, you know, when we need to get pressure on the quarterback. But I think when you're not going to play with all 3 of them in there at the same time because they're both all three of those guys are inside guys. But it's who you're taking out. And again, up until yesterday, you know, I would say our most productive defensive lineman statistically for us has been Cedric, you know, and then Fletch is really starting to come along and Vinny can do some things. So, you know, it's we're continuing to develop depth, and it's not manufactured depth. It's that we got guys that are starting to, you know, come along and figure it out. And it's the same thing. I think in this league, for you to be successful, you better have depth. I think it showed at our quarterback spot, you know, and it was very evident. I know a lot of people when your number 1 quarterback goes down, there's a big drop-off. There wasn't a drop-off at all, you know. And when we start to rotate the defensive lineman the way we're doing it, the other guy who was pretty productive and had a big sack right towards the end of the game was Benny Logan, you know. And I think Benny's coming along. But I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to say, hey, we have too many interior defensive linemen. I think the positive point of it is that all those guys are starting to get more familiar with Billy's schemes. They're starting to get a better feel and a better understanding for what we're doing, and it's going to help us in the long run. So. No, it's not. It's actually Atlanta Braves. So it was whatever I grabbed. What's on top of the pile? What's that? I'm a big Red Sox fan, but they play too late for me right now. So all those games finished too late. But the big comeback by them last night. You're not out of it. You're out of it.
Chip, the deep ball with Foles last year, that was one element of the game, of his game that maybe needed improvement. I know you weren't here last year, but what have you seen with the deep ball?
I've seen Nick throw the deep ball well since we got here. So, you know, that's something that I think he does a really nice job of. I think you got two quarterbacks that can launch it, you know, and I think it's a lot of the deep ball really depends on how the receivers run the routes, too. And I think part of that, I don't know if it went unnoticed, but the job Riley did of stacking the defensive back and getting on top of him so that now he can body him. And Riley did a decent job of kind of settling down just before the throw, you know, so that the Banks backed into him and then all of a sudden catching it over his outside shoulder. But it's something, as a coach, you're excited about because it's something we work on every single day. It's the first drill we do when the horn blows after centers and quarterbacks is we're throwing curl on one side and, you know, deep ball. We're not running 60 yards down the field, but we're throwing the ball up with trajectory, and our receivers are making sure they try to catch it over their shoulders so that they can body position the defensive back. And, you know, it's a great throw by Nick and a really good job by Riley in that situation.
Chip, this town doesn't like the Dallas Cowboys. Coaches and players in the past have had funny experiences with fans, even in the streets. Have you had any fans come up to you about their hatred for the Dallas Cowboys?
No, that's just because there's a lot of other teams they don't like either. So, pick them. They all seem to be in the NFC East, though, so, which is a good thing. So, we played two of them, and now we're getting to play the third, so I'm sure it'll be the same. But I've had feelings about the Giants, and I've had people talk to me about the Redskins, and, you know, Coach Vermeil came here to talk to our team, and he talked a little bit about that feeling, and we're ready to go. I know it's going to be a hell of a game.
Okay. Thanks,
guys.
All right, that is head coach Chip Kelly. No commitment as far as who might play quarterback. No update on Michael Vick's injury situation. We'll find out more tomorrow when the Eagles get back on the practice field here at the NovaCare Complex. Three injuries of note: Jason Peters, running back, Chris Polk, safety, Patrick Chung, all with shoulder injuries. We'll find out their status a little bit more as we get into the week here. Sounds like they may be limited at practice early in the week. Hopefully get back for the game against the Cowboys on Sunday. We thank you for joining us. Tomorrow we're live again, Eagles Live. Adam Kaplan joins me in studio. He'll break down what he saw in the Eagles' win over Tampa Bay and look ahead with some critical injury updates from Dallas. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.